crates of farmsteading gear, lengths of planking, fruit. 5 minutes later they saw the first body, a woman in a one-piece shipsuit, face down with arms and legs spread wide. "We're turning back now," Len informed him. "All the way to the mouth of the Qualheim," Darcy reminded him. "Shove your money and your contract." He started turning the wheel. "You think I'm blind to what's going on? We're already in the rebel area. It's going to take a miracle to get us downriver if we start now, never mind from another 150 kilometers further east." "Wait." Darcy put his hand on the wheel. "How far to Ozark?" Scowling, Len consulted an ancient guidance block sitting on a shelf in the wheelhouse. 30 kilometers, maybe 35. "Put us ashore, 5 kilometers short of the village." "I dunno. Look, the eagles can spot any boat coming down the river 10 kilometers ahead of us. If one does come, then we turn round immediately and sail for Durringham. How does that sound?" "Why didn't the eagles spot all this, then? Hardly something you could miss. They're out over the jungle. We'll call them back now. Besides, it could be a genuine accident. There might be people hurt up ahead." The lines around Len's mouth tightened, reflecting his indecision. No true captain would ignore another boat in distress. A broken chunk of yellow foam packaging scraped down the side of the Coogan. "All right," he said, clutching at the wheel, "but the first sign of trouble, and I'm off downriver. It's not the money. Coogan's all I've got. I built her with my own hands. I ain't risking the old girl for you." "I'm not asking you to. I'm just as anxious as you that nothing happens to the boat or you. No matter what we find in the villages, we've still got to get back to Durringham. Laurie and I are too old to walk." Len grunted dismissively, but started feeding the wheel round again, lining the prow up on the eastern horizon. The affinity call went out, and Abraham and Catlin curved through the clear air, racing for the river. From their vantage point 7 kilometers ahead of the Coogan, they could see tiny scraps of debris floating slowly in the current. They were also high enough for the water to be almost completely transparent. Laurie could see large schools of brown spines and reddish eel analogues swimming idly. It wasn't until the sun was a red-gold ball touching the treetops ahead of the little trader boat that the eagles found the paddle boats jammed into opposite banks. Laurie and Darcy guided them in long spirals above the surrounding jungle, searching for the colonists and crew and posse. There was nobody on the boats or in the camps that had been set up. "There's one," Laurie said. She felt Darcy come into the link with Abraham, looking through the bird's enhanced eyes. Down below a figure was slipping through the jungle. The tightly packed leaves made observation difficult, granting them only the most fleeting of glimpses. It was a man, a new colonist, they judged, because he was wearing a shirt of synthetic fabric. He was walking unhurriedly westwards, parallel to the river, about 1 kilometre inland. "Where does he think he's going?" Darcy asked. "There isn't another village on this side for 50 kilometres. "Do you want to send Abraham down below the tree level for a better look?" "No. My guess is this man's been sequestrated. They all have." "There were nearly 700 people on those 3 boats. "Yes. And there are close to 20 million people on La Londe. How much would it cost to sequestrate them all?"
"A lot, if you use nanonics."
"You don't think it is nanonics?"
"No. Latin said it was an energy virus, whatever that is."
"And you believe him?"
"I hate to say it, but I'm giving what he said a great deal of credence right now. There's certainly something at work here beyond our normal experience."
"Do you want to capture this man? If he's a victim of the virus, we should learn all we need to know from him."
"I'd hate to try chasing anyone through this jungle, especially a lone man on foot who obviously has colleagues nearby." "We go on to Ozark, then?"
"Yes."
The Coogan advanced up the river at a much slower pace, waiting for the sun to set before passing the 2 paddle boats. For the first time since he arrived on the planet, Darcy actually found himself wishing it would rain. A nice thick squall would provide extra cover. As it was, they had to settle for thin clouds gusting over Dirranor, subduing its red lambency to a sourceless candle glow, which reduced ordinary visibility to a few 100 meters.
Even so, the trader's wheezing engines and clanking gearbox sounded appallingly loud on the night-time river, where silence was sacrosanct.